Good morning. I want to say thanks to, where's Kevin O? Where are you? Okay, Kevin and Nathaniel for taking care of Sunday school opening this morning. Kevin had all of about 2 minutes notice. Nate, Roger, how much notice did you give Nate? Just after practice, yeah. See, these guys are good. They can do it. They don't need much notice. Yeah. And then Roger had to chair the service here just on the spot, too. Just way to go. Thanks, Roger. Appreciate it. We are looking at a passage here this morning. We're going to chat a little bit about. But I want you to think a little bit about your love. I want you to think about your love for God and God's love for you. And as we read Revelation chapter 2, reminded, of course, the church at Ephesus had an obligation to love. And the Lord's table is often called a love feast. It's an opportunity where we get to express our devotion to the Lord for what he has done. And I know that in a setting like this, you sort of say, well, it's private. Well, it is and it isn't. We should be unashamed of our love for the Lord and our desire to honor him. So we're going to look at that a little more in a little bit. I ask you to turn in your Bibles right now to 1 John for a moment. We're going to look at about half a dozen passages later and then coming back to 1 John, or pardon me, Revelation chapter 2. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11. Now, you know what you're tempted to do, right? You got to be tempted to go back to the first couple verses because of chapter 3, because it's there that you've got this beautiful language that just can't help but help you appreciate that as John wrote the epistle of 1 John, referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved, how there was a reciprocal love on his part. So beginning at verse 11, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. I wonder how John wanted to pen that. I wonder how much passion he wanted to put into that as he was thinking of the different saints. Was he trying to suggest that there wasn't love there? Was he trying to suggest that there's just enough love there? Was he trying to suggest that there should have been way more love there in light of the love that the Father had bestowed upon him and upon us? Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life. You can put down John 5:24 next to that, because that's the phrase that comes to John's mind, because the Lord Jesus made reference to the fact that he who believes in the one who sent him has passed from death to life. But he says we know it experientially that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. And anyone who does not love remains in death. And anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. abiding in him. And this is how we know what love is. And here's the definition of love. And you put John 3:16 next to that, because John is remembering those words. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And he speaks about it practically in the next couple verses. I want you to think about that. And then we'll look at a few other passages a little later. Why are you here? We were singing. Were those just words? Was I just singing words? Just songs that I'm familiar with? Songs that simply evoke an emotion at a moment in time? Or am I remembering the love that was demonstrated on Calvary? Am I coming here today to worship the one who loves me? Am I breaking bread with the one who sustains me, the bread of life? Lord, give you wisdom. I want to open it up now just for a few of you, a few men here to share this morning. Valentin, good to see you this morning. Didn't expect to see you. Good to see you. You've been on my mind praying for you. I should let you know that, though, shouldn't I? Yeah.
First John 3:16 actually was a passage I skipped in my ABF. I had it there as well. Thanks for sharing that, Mike. Let's go to Romans 5. I've been thinking over the last couple of weeks on what my friendship looks like with the Lord. And as I give thought to it, it's actually quite overwhelming. Jesus commands us to love one another because of his love for us. He laid down his life for us. Let's read Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Do you? Do we? Wow. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been now justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for your great love for us. You demonstrated this by sending your Son, who even though we were not seeking after you, we went after our own ways. While we were still your enemies, you took initiative. You went ahead and sent your Son to pay the penalty of my sin. Lord, thank you that through this we have life eternal with you. Help me, Lord, help all of us to love one another deeply. And help us not to lose our love for you. Help us to grow stronger in our love for you and for our friends, for our neighbors. Help us to seek those out that maybe don't know you or maybe feel alone. Those that don't haven't understood your marvelous grace, truth. So Lord, again, I want to thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to read Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you this morning for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, as we undeservingly, you went to the cross for us. Lord, as we read this psalm, we're reminded of how we are unworthy. And yet, Lord, you've forgiven us. Lord, I just thank you for your sacrifice that you've made. Help us not to lose perspective and to fall away, but to continue to trust in you and to look to your word for wisdom and guidance. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Amen.
He loves us. And in my early years, it was difficult for me to think of having a relationship with Christ as a friend and kind of knowing him as just, you know, a friend. But Scripture is clear that that is what he wants, that Christ wants a friendship with us. You know, what Frank shared John 15 this morning, which just confirms it, starting at verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let's pray. Lord, I just, thank you for the love that you showed us, that, you know, while we were yet sinners, you died on the cross for us, giving eternal life to all who believe in you. And, as we come here and break bread, we just, once again, we're just ever so grateful for how you did show your love for us. Amen.
That's a business we don't like, and it's quite costly to us because it takes the money off our accounts. And yet when Jesus came, he decided to pay the price. You know, when we do stuff wrong, when you hurt someone, there is a bill to be paid. If I hurt someone, either the person who I hurt has to pay the price, or they backlash on me maybe, and then I have to pay the price, and it goes on back and forth. Nobody wants to take the bill. Nobody wants to pay it. But when Jesus came on the and died on the cross, he said, I'm going to pay the bill. I was being reminded when he stood in front of the high priest, accusing, and all wrong accusations, he decided to pay the bill. He didn't decide to give back and say, no, wrong accusations, you pay the bill. And Jesus calls us to do the same. When we come to the table, even it says, when you remember, when you come and bring your sacrifice, Jesus says, and you remember someone has something against you, go pay the bill. Go forgive. That's tough. And yet he did that for us as an example to go and do the same. To pay the bill. To be in a bill-paying business, because he has forgiven us and we should forgive the same way.
Back in John's Gospel, chapter 6, here we are breaking bread. Of course, the bread that we break is symbolic of the life that was given. Bread was provided nourishment, provided strength, provided life. And as the nation of Israel was in the desert, it was always accusing God of being cruel and accusing Moses of bringing them out in the wilderness to die. And so they always wanted to know where their next meal was coming from. And that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Most of us have our tapeworm set for 12 o'clock, so all of a sudden we start getting excited and we're looking at our watch. Isn't this going to be over yet? Like, I mean, it's 20 seconds, okay? So I expect there's going to be a lot of rattling going on here all of a sudden. Tend to be so finite in our thinking. And yet the Lord Jesus used very common elements to illustrate to us his deep love for us. And although the word love isn't found in this particular text, it demonstrated the love of God in the Old Testament was simply being, again, repeatedly renewed. And so Jesus says in verse 32, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. And this true bread from heaven was a demonstration of God's love for his people. Like the woman at the well, she wanted the water. And so they said, yes, give us this bread from now on. I want the bread. I want the water that sustains me, gives me life, so I can love. Because without life, there can be no love. I am the bread, verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse Verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For the Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Chapter 13, and read just a few verses here. A new command, verse 34, I give you, love one another. I can't love him, he hurt me. Seems like yesterday we were hearing our kids say that. Do you remember saying that? You remember saying, he hurt me. Or she hurt me. He bugs me. Pulls my hair and so on. And by the way, when we grow up, it's not much different. We, rather than say it, we just avoid people. Yeah. That's not friendship. I'd rather you say, you bug me. So you can tell me that at the door, okay? It's all right. I can handle it. I put my thick skin on this morning. Yeah. But remember, I might tell you something too. I love you. You're gorgeous. Renee's got a good laugh out of that one. We had a tour guide who said that all the time and just made it. Oh, I hope I never hear those words again. Only one day, but it felt like forever. So Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, love one another. He knew how difficult it was because they were competing with each other constantly. They were comparing one another. And it was these very disciples that he was going to entrust to go and reach the world. And by virtue of that very fact, you and I are sitting here today because God's power working through them made sure and ensured that that message could be heard today. And John was compelled to say, I'm going to write this and I'm going to ensure that the church hears this. The words of the Lord Jesus. But you're not to simply love people the way you want to. You're to love them as Jesus loved you. Thanks, Mike, for sharing that. And the benefit would be this. By this, all men will have experiential knowledge. They will experience your love as you love one another. They will experience that knowledge. It will become evident and it will affect their lives. Well, John felt pretty strongly about that. Let's go over to Romans 12. Paul felt pretty strongly about this, and it was something that he probably grappled with for quite a while. He probably said, you know, how do I help these Roman Gentile believers to understand that in a world that's so filled with all kinds of cosmetics and shallowness, everything's got lipstick on it. How do I help people to be real? Are you real? Are you afraid to be real? Jesus was real. Jesus is real. Lord Jesus loves you. He loves me in spite of the many ways that I fail him. And although he knows all about me,